Well, this week we had showers of rain and some puddles to step over or perhaps jump in if you're very small. And it reminds us that even though we had that rain, we still need more rain to fall because of the dry summer that we've had. And it's left some of our reservoirs, those big artificial lakes that hold the water that ends up in our homes and then comes out of our taps so that we can drink and keep well. And I'm going to put on the screen a picture of one of those reservoirs that's been in the news quite recently. This is the Lady Bower Reservoir in Derbyshire. And I wonder if any of the children can tell me what's happened here. What's wrong with the picture? Any of the children know why it looks like that? What do you think? Anyone children want to guess? Oh, Ronaldo. That's right, there's not much water. It shouldn't look like that, should it? No, that's right. The dry weather has left it all a low water level. And we know that in the world today, there are many men and women, boys and girls, who feel that their lives are at a low, that they're feeling low, that they've got reduced resources, that many are thirsty, thirsty for something in their lives, in their hearts, something that they long for. If we show the next slide, we can see some ruins in the middle of that reservoir. What's left of two abandoned villages that made way for the reservoir. And these ruins have been revealed again by the low waters. And we know, sadly, there has been some vandalism. People have been taking stones or graffitiing on the walls. And we know that when we are empty, when we are low, sometimes we try to hide it and cover it up. But we know that we can't and we don't need to because God sees us. As we heard in that video, "You have searched me and you know me, O Lord." So when we're empty, we can't hide the ruins and the rubble. All is not hopeless, though. We are not left in ruins. This is a picture of that same reservoir, how it looked earlier in the year, and how, God willing, it will look again, that the rains will fall and the change will happen and it will be filled once again. Well, in the same way, the prophet Isaiah looked forward with hope to God bringing new life to God's thirsty people who were in exile, which means they'd been taken away from their homes. They were cast away in exile from Jerusalem. But Isaiah tells of the day when God will change everything and will restore what is lost. So with Isaiah and with Luke, we celebrate God's gift of hope today for us and for our world. How we need hope. Hope is in short supply, isn't it? Hope is being drained away, it seems, so often. And it's like that reservoir that we saw the picture of. Our reservoir of hope has been drained dry. How has it happened? Who is responsible? Who is this thief of hope? This thief that is at large, this thief that is on the world's most wanted list, public enemy number one. A thief that targets the vulnerable and the strong. A thief that targets the poor and the prosperous, the young and the old. The thief of hope. It targets the media. It targets the broadcasters. The thief of hope goes by many names, which are translated into every language on earth. The name of the thief of hope is pessimism, skepticism, fatalism, despair, discouragement, disappointment, fear, and so on. And all of those robbers of hope, leaving us empty, leaving us in the dark. I have this cartoon in my study that I wanted to show you. It's got two dogs in a dark tunnel, looking at each other in despair, and the sign reads, "The light at the end of the tunnel is out until further notice." The light at the end of the tunnel is out until further notice. It's not up there in the top 10 most inspirational quotes, and I have more inspirational ones in my study. But that sort of speaks to my strange sense of humor. The light at the end of the tunnel is out until further notice. It's humorous, but it's hopeless, isn't it? It's hopeless. The light at the end of the tunnel is out until further notice. But today we light a candle in the dark. We light a candle in the dark, a candle for hope. Hope. What does hope look like? What are our grounds for hope? It's one of those words, it's hard to get a handle on, isn't it? By its nature, hope is beyond us. It's ahead of us. Well, according to the dictionary, hope is the feeling that a need can be met, a longing fulfilled. Hope is a dream, a wish. Hope is about expectation, that things can change for the better, that that reservoir can be filled up once again. And for the Christian, hope isn't based on how we feel. Hope cannot be grounded on feeling, because feelings come and go. Sometimes we wake up and we feel optimistic, that the glass is half full. Some days we feel pessimistic. Sometimes things seem hopeful. Sometimes things can seem hopeless. Hope cannot be grounded on our circumstances. So what are our grounds for hope? Where do we look? Do we look to politicians? Do we look to religious leaders? Do we look to celebrities? To science? Can they give us the hope that we need? Can they save us? And the evidence tells us, no, not completely. So are there any grounds for hope? Any grounds at all? Well, the Advent voice says clearly, yes. There's a story told of a boy who, one Christmas day, he stood for several minutes before a photograph of his absent father. And he turned to his mother and he wistfully said, "How I wish Father would step out of the photograph." And there was a similar longing in the heart of Isaiah. And hundreds of years later, when everything was ready, the waiting was over. And one day, the father stepped out of the picture. He stepped out at Bethlehem, as we see in our crib. Jesus is God's gift of hope to the world. He is hope made flesh. He is hope on two legs. Our grounds for hope are centered completely on the person of Jesus. He's not a fairy tale character. He's not an imaginary friend. But he is an historical truth. the poet Arnold Kellett describes how a laser beam in Bethlehem once burnt time in two. BC, before Christ, became AD, the year of our Lord, and hope was born. And it is a hope that, like a candle flame, has burned brightly and steadily for 2,000 years and is burning in your life and in mine today. And if we feel that that flame is burning low, thought that it's been blown by winds, the Lord will protect it and rekindle that flame of hope in you. Like the candle flame, it consumes all our pessimism, our skepticism, our fears for the future, our disappointments and discouragements. It's a hope that could never be destroyed, not even when it was nailed to the cross. It is a living hope. And Jesus has taken that thief of hope captive for all time. So this Advent and Christmas, hear the good news that Jesus offers you the gift of strong hope once again. Our hope is not a castle in the air, but in that stable in Bethlehem. Father has stepped out of the picture, our Father God, and we are reconciled and reunited. This is our hope. And now we can begin to see hope in our world. Hope made flesh. Hope is born when, on Christmas morning, a child opens a toy and a parent's heart rejoices. Hope is born when the food bank voucher is exchanged for nourishment. Hope is born in the kind word and the thoughtful action. Hope is now and not yet. We wait for that day when all hopes will be fulfilled. Hope, someone has said, is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Hope is believing in advance what only makes sense in reverse. And that's to say, we've sung about that time when we're going to see the King, King Jesus, in that new Jerusalem, that new heaven and earth, when every tear will be wiped away, every heart will rejoice, there will be no more death or dying. And then we'll look back, and then we will see. We don't judge God's goodness until the end of the story. And he will bring us to that hope and that promise. So receive God's gift of hope today. Let him refuel you with hope, a reservoir of living hope, streams in the desert, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is waiting to begin. So let us have great expectations. Amen.